Sometimes, headlines in the national news can bring our personal and family stories to the fore. Last week's mining tragedy in West Virginia had that effect on commentator Amy Alexander.
Recently, I paused to contemplate the tragic deaths of a dozen coal miners in West Virginia. Actually, it was more than a pause. I followed the terrible story closely, hoping, like millions of other Americans, for a happy ending. That sliver of hope, for me, was sharpened by a couple of factors, one macro, one micro. One born of a fascination with our nation's fast-fading 19th century industrial heritage, the other from my own family history. Here in 2006, we are preoccupied with gadgets, political squabbling, red herring cultural wars, and rampant consuming. But in a parallel universe, thousands of real Americans continue to scrape out a living in the gaseous, perilous corners where the very fuel of our national engine resides. The coal miners' heritage and their day-to-day world is made up of grueling, dangerous, dirty work in service to American industrial might. Like auto workers, foundrymen, and other manufacturing industry wage workers, coal miners have for a century been the backbone of modern America. But their world exists outside of much of the public's consciousness. They are marginalized by inevitable technological advances and changing environmental concerns, and by a political and social culture that seems to have forgotten their vital role in our nation's building. Our memory loss about the reality of miners is a shame. Their experiences go far beyond our accepted notion of the mythical blue-collar American worker. The sheer medieval quality of their work, of plunging thousands of feet into the dark depths of the earth, means that miners worldwide are quite literally at the bottom of our economic structure. Their late 19th and early 20th century union struggles, like those of railroad and auto workers, represented one of the biggest socio-political movements in American history, though lately few Americans seem willing to acknowledge its significance. Their sacrifice and the sacrifice of their families cannot be overstated. In my case, I wouldn't be here were it not for the Union Pacific Railroad and Mining Company. My maternal grandfather, Benjamin Franklin Furman, worked for more than 30 years in copper and coal mines in the West. He died in Rock Springs, Wyoming on February 26, 1942. My mother, the youngest of Ben Furman's 9 children, was 11 years old at the time of his death. She remains to this day a coal miner's daughter, tough, straight-talking, and possessed of a formidable work ethic. I never met Ben Furman, but I grew up on stories of how my grandfather left home each day for his long shift, carrying a tin lunchbox and wearing heavy breeches, a watchful expression furrowing his high forehead. He saw his work in the cold, unforgiving underworld a necessary trade-off. It allowed him to live in a part of the country not completely corrupted by racial discrimination, and it provided him enough income to support his family. So it was that I went to my files the other day after the final tragic news from West Virginia. There I keep a photocopy of a story that appeared in the March 1, 1942 edition of the Rock Springs Rocket Miner, the local newspaper of the town where my grandfather lived and died. He got a pretty good write-up, though the story failed to mention one important detail, that at age 65, after many years of loyal service to the Union Pacific Railroad and Mining Company, Ben Furman died of black lung. His work-related illness was never compensated by the mining company, a fact that makes the recent mining disaster so much more resonant for me.
Amy Alexander is an author and media critic living in Maryland.